I've confronted with a number of students that I've had in the past. I've had some Japanese students who I mentioned to them that their ancestors traveled across the Pacific Ocean hundreds of years before Columbus,
right,
and were trading with the Native Americans. And they say to me, our ancestors got to America before Columbus, and they were merchants? That's terrific, because up to this point in time, they've been taught, hey, the most that the Japanese accomplished was bombing Pearl Harbor, and they will be forever damned,
mm-hmm,
for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, suddenly, they realize that their ancestors were creatively involved in doing something relating to business that was very important. And I've had some black students who've told me this idea that their ancestors were brought to the New World by white slave dealers. And so this perception that they have is that everything that's happened to them has been done to them by white people. And I say, hey, look, in about 1,000 B.C., this is over 2,000 years before Columbus, we have evidence of West Africans, chiefs, and flotillas of vessels, merchant vessels, sailing across the Atlantic Ocean. And these chiefs were so important that their busts, their heads were sculptured in giant, hard basalt rock using iron tools. A couple thousand years before Columbus, they were honored as noble chiefs in America. And this is part of the heritage of African Americans, and yet it's not taught in schools.
Why don't we have these ships, the crafts that they used to get here? Where are they?
Well, they're made out of wood, or they're made out of straw.
I mean, did they sink? We've had old relics before. I mean, where are the real ancient ones? What happened to them?
Probably a number of these are still could be found by archaeologists, but they're probably 100 or 200 feet underneath the water. And there's a number of divers that are beginning to pay some attention at looking for some ancient ship relics. But another reality is a lot of these things were made out of wood and straw, and it just does not preserve very well. But as far as the American academicians are concerned, it doesn't matter if you can show them the ships. They're going to ignore it anyway. I was at a party a couple of years ago, and I was talking to a tenured professor from the University of Washington in medieval history,
mm-hmm,
and I thought this would be a tremendous opportunity to learn something from him. And I mentioned the Chinese maps of ancient America, and he said, well, this is impossible because the Chinese didn't have any ships that could sail across the ocean. And I thought, this is absolutely ridiculous. Most historians that bother to look at the Chinese history know that Admiral Zheng He, Ming Admiral, in about 1405 A.D., which is still almost 100 years before Columbus, sailed in gigantic vessels that were 30 times the size of the flagship of Columbus, sailed on round-trip voyages between China and Africa in fleets of several hundred ships. This is something that Gavin Menzies talks about in his book, 1421. And just a one-way voyage was longer than the round trip for Columbus. And here we've got a Chinese admiral that sails on seven expeditions with hundreds of ships and 30,000 sailors on at least one expedition that we know of. And historians discount this because they're not interested in Chinese history.
Well, we know the Romans had huge ships during the day. How possible is it then that they came over in, you know, really the Christ period?
Well, certainly they were coming over. Going back about 1,000, 2,000 years before Christ, we have the Minoans and the Phoenicians become aware of the tremendous native copper deposits in the Great Lakes region, and they begin bringing, or the Native Americans with Phoenician miners begin bringing these copper deposits up to the Hudson Bay via the Nelson River or down the St. Lawrence River to the Gulf of St. Lawrence and then across the North Atlantic to the Mediterranean,
mm-hmm,
region. And then following them, we get into the period where the Romans are taking over. And the Romans are relying on this trade of metals, bringing copper across the North Atlantic because they've virtually exhausted the native copper deposits in the Mediterranean region. So they're dependent on these copper deposits and tin deposits from England, which used to be known as the Tin Isles. And so among these Roman merchants that are bringing this material across, as Glenn Kimball has pointed out, we have Joseph of Arimathea being involved in this metal trade. And the definite possibility, or I would say probability, given some of the accounts in the Bible, that Jesus was also one of the mariners that sailed across the Atlantic.
Now, hold on. Now you got to elaborate on that one.
Well,
could he be the one that went to South America and went to other regions around this this planet, even in different time periods?
Well, practically anything is possible if you consider the possibility of spiritual entities existing in various points in time. Reincarnation is a theory of the ancient Buddhists and the Hindus, for example. And there's no reason why, if that takes place, that Jesus couldn't be involved in that.
Of course, there were many missing years in his life that people don't know exactly where he was, what he was doing. Maybe he did get on a ship and go to the Americas.
I think, if nothing else, among the Basques and the Spaniards and a lot of the inhabitants of England, even going back before Roman times, there was an appreciation that the world's best fishing grounds were off the Newfoundland banks. And given that consideration and the interest of Jesus in fishing, I think that there's a good possibility that he sailed across the Atlantic.
You know, old texts, a gunner from India, the Vedas,
yes,
talk about flying machines and objects, and either they had vivid imaginations or something real strange was going on during this time period.
Well, the at least a few historians are aware that the ancient Chinese in years B.C. were practicing with hang gliders. And recently we've got a situation from Australia where a person out in a parasail got caught up in a thunderstorm and was raised 6 miles into the air. So we might not have had mechanical flying going on, but at least some of the more advanced civilizations were experimenting.
What happened to the Chinese, though? If they had that kind of shipping technology, you would have thought they would have been more advanced in terms of taking over the planet instead of being isolationists as they were. What happened to them?
Well, the isolationism is something in China that really happened to some extent in the 14th and then going into the 15th century. And in the 14th century, it was a result of bubonic plague, and they realized that the plague had come from overseas, and they were concerned about preventing it from happening again. It killed about 25 million people.